This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us. We have a legislative update for you this afternoon with State Representative David Millard of Columbia County. He'll be talking about a number of issues today that the state is facing, and we'll see what's coming up in the next session in Harrisburg. Dave Millard represents the 109th Legislative District. He's been in office almost a decade now in that spot. Representative Millard, thanks for being with us on the WPGM Community Forum. Let's start by talking about the budget. There's a new fiscal year underway as of the last month or so, and the budget was on time. Let's talk about that and why it was on time. That hasn't always been the case in recent years.
Well, there was more money put into the budget for basic education funding. And secondly, in a rural area that I represent, in other words, if you put a T-bone steak on a map of PA, that's rural PA, that's what I represent. And the budget did contain a lot for agriculture. And it seems that from year to year in budgets, some things take a front burner, others take a back burner. Everything has its turn in time. And this was the time for agriculture. A lot of dollars put into research for ag, you know, that if we have a pest or a bug that decimates a crop, why, we all have our hand in it. And, you know, it's what's on our dinner plate every day if we don't address it. And so I was happy about that. Going back to the education, there was more money put in for higher education. And of course, you know, maybe not as much as any of these individual entities would like to see, but nevertheless, the dollars were increased. Incidentally, the state system declared a moratorium on tuition increase for the year, so that was a good thing. You know, at the end of the day, we want education to be affordable and quality. And we want our students, you know, our Pennsylvania residents to remain in PA after they get that education. So I, you know, again, we could always have a debate on how many dollars, if it was enough, but nevertheless, there were increases. One of the final points on it would be the fact that, yes, it was done on time. And the negative effects of not having a budget on time are far-reaching. So it really is important that we make every effort to do that. And in doing so, at the end of the day, when all the numbers were considered, we're actually able to put money in the rainy day fund. And that's a good thing. You preach to families that they have to prepare for the future. And, you know, when the state isn't putting dollars in because of a lack of revenue coming in, that sends a mixed message. So I was delighted that we were able to put substantive dollars into the fund.
I know when I was first married and people said, you need to save. And I thought, I have $1.17 in my checking account at the end of the week. How do you save? You know, on a statewide level, how do you do that? I mean, where does that come from? And is it just because the economy's moving along right now?
Well, we've seen evidence over the past couple of years that the economy is improving. And it's not in leaps and bounds, so to speak, but there's been a gradual uptick in the economy. Our sources of revenue, obviously, are from taxes, individual taxes, sales taxes, business taxes. And my theory has always been that, you know, the more that we can put an emphasis on getting people gainfully employed takes the pressure off of state programs as far as insurance and other benefits, and it's money going into the jar instead of money coming out.
Okay. Was it difficult to reach the agreement? I mean, was there a lot of, it seemed to flow through more quickly this year, or was there a lot of discord about what was going to end up in the budget?
No, I think that, again, it boiled down to the fact that each of us individually has unique needs in our districts. We would have liked more money earmarked for this or that. But looking at the items that take the largest piece of the pie, one-third of the budget pie is education. Another third of it is health and human services, both of which received some, you know, pretty nice increases in their allocation. So there was really nothing at the end of the day that I think could be argued about, except that, you know, our pet projects, if we want more money individually for something. But the other is, I think, an emphasis put forth that we're not like Washington. You know, there's problems in D.C., and we don't want Pennsylvania to be labeled along with that. We want to do our job, do it effectively, get it done, and get back to the people that, you know, that we are responsible for, that keep us in office.
And speaking of Washington, you lost one of your colleagues, Fred Keller, to the U.S. Congress now. So there'll be some changes coming there. A new representative in a few weeks. So how does that work with you know, we have what, maybe four representatives covering our listening area. You know, do you guys kind of because you're representing that, like you said, the rural PA T-bone, do you kind of work together more?
We do. We actually meet with each other on different items, and we'll just pick one item, agriculture. If there's a concern with agriculture, most certainly I'm going to have a conversation one-on-one with Representatives Mosser and Culver and whoever Representative or Congressman Keller's replacement is. And you know, as far reaching over to like Cumming County with Representative Evert and reaching across the aisle, if a representative contiguous to my district is of another party, we're certainly going to have a discussion too. Listen, we are issue focused. We're oriented to resolving problems, no matter the party, no matter the chamber.
It's good to think of the local representatives as a, you know, cooperating group, certainly for the people being represented.
Well, we are, and you know, these dialogues, they don't take place once every 6 months among us. We probably have conversations about every week. The representatives I mentioned either sit to my right on the House floor or directly in front of me.
You represent kind of the eastern portion of our listening area, WPGM and WBGM, but your particular area has been doing a lot dealing with the flooding from last year, because we had, I think I've repressed the memories, but it was one flood after another. So, you know, how are you still, is that a year later, you're still facing those issues?
Well, we are. We're in part two of what I'm calling part three of a flood wall protection system for Bloomsburg. And of course, there have been some individual efforts that have been done for some of our industries as well. And in consideration also is the analysis and the study of both branches of Fishing Creek, of which saw a lot of devastation in individual communities last year and years prior. So what we're looking at is stream bank stabilization, removing gravel bars that have mature vegetation on that allow for debris to collect. And, you know, the list goes on, because somebody's driveway, some bridge, some road was affected by overcropping of our streams. And every storm event that we have certainly has its own definition, its own set of characteristics. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, holistically, it has to all be addressed, and that has been my effort over the past couple of years. And, you know, the wheels of government do move slowly, but I'm hoping that my efforts will produce some results here within the next couple of months with relationship to studies that are needed and must be done.
And it's been such a long process. I mean, 50 years ago almost now, we had the Agnes flood, which was so devastating. And we really are much more prepared now.
Well, as far as emergency preparedness, we are. However, with addressing our stream situation, unfortunately, we're not as prepared. Because although there's a lot of agencies that have oversight along the streams, none have a maintenance allocation in their budget to address things. And unfortunately, it always takes a major negative event to occur to free up dollars for those purposes.
Okay. We mentioned Representative turned Congressman Keller a few moments ago. He's involved with some legislation dealing with the scam callers, the spoofing calls, and so forth. Is that something the state legislature can deal with as well, or is that solely a federal issue? Because I mean, anything anybody could do would be smiled upon by most people who own a phone.
I think it's a combination, and we know that Verizon has just communicated to the entire legislature that they are installing additional new modernized up-to-date technical equipment that will negate those annoying calls that come in with local numbers attached to them. So, you know, they're moving ahead with their addressing of technology. But the unfortunate thing is that there are a lot of very talented people out there, and unfortunately their efforts are expended in a negative way. So no matter what firewall is put up, they somehow manage to find a way over, through it, or around it.
Is the issue kind of looked at as, well, it's annoying, but maybe not really dangerous? I mean, except, of course, when they are indeed scamming you. Has that issue not been as to the forefront maybe as people would want it to be?
Well, again, it's a combination. Not only are they annoying, but yes, there are scam artists out there. And of course, we've got a lot of legislation out there dealing with scam artists that are caught, making sure that they have their day in court and pay the penalty for what they've done. And the Attorney General's office in Pennsylvania is really getting more involved in a lot of these scam calls.
And so many times we have news stories and state police warnings about, you know, a certain type of scam call, but there's just so many. But I think everybody just needs to be as cynical as the newsman here. But then you don't trust anybody. So that's another part of the issue, I guess.
Well, it is. And, you know, the best advice I give when you get one, just hang up immediately. Don't entertain them. Don't give them, you know, the footprint of your voice. Don't say anything. When you recognize it for what it is, hang up. Your bank is not going to call you. The Social Security office is not going to call you.
Microsoft.
Right. Exactly. So just hang up.
Okay. And that's right there. We could stop the program now. And that piece of advice, just hang up, because, you know, that's, I think a lot of people now too, just don't pick it up if they know the numbers.
Exactly, and what we talked about just a few moments ago with local numbers coming in, more people are apt to pick up recognizing a local number, and that's exactly what Verizon and not only Verizon, all the major telephone carriers are trying to work to resolve.
A year or so ago, the fireworks laws in Pennsylvania changed, and I know there's been some concern about that with people getting a little too blast happy, and maybe some tweaking of that needs to be done. Have you seen that? Have you had concerns?
Well, we did the past decade revamp a lot of the fireworks laws. First of all, allowing them to be legal in Pennsylvania and not as powerful as the commercial displays that are put on. But one thing that unfortunately we cannot legislate is good manners. And, you know, we can make a product safe, we can make a product available that there's a demand for, but we just can't put good manners on people as to when to use them.
Okay. And it has a lot to do with, I think the changes in the first place, it was a matter of people making the purchases elsewhere anyway, so did Pennsylvania just feel like, you know, at least we're going to get in on this this revenue?
Well, exactly. It's sales tax revenue, and it was occurring anyway. You know, and the week before, the week of, the week after, it seemed to be the window for fireworks around the 4th. And even though they were illegal, just look in any direction, you probably saw some aerial fireworks that weren't commercial. So Pennsylvania wanted it, A, to be safe, and B, to capitalize on the revenue source.
And speaking of revenue sources, marijuana is another one that could bring in a lot of revenue. That's being discussed. Lieutenant Governor Fetterman was on a tour of the state, talking to people everywhere, every county, I believe. Your thoughts on that? I know when we first talked several years back, we talked about, would medical marijuana be a reality? It is. Is this something you see coming? Well, you know, whether you like it or not.
It may see its day, but it will not see its day with my vote. I am terribly concerned about putting more impaired drivers on the highway, and that's exactly what I see with recreational marijuana. I just don't see that we want to do that and affect innocent lives with it. Again, you can put all the parameters in that you want when something is made legal, but you just can't stand side by side with somebody to put good manners and common sense on them. And I'll be a no vote on recreational marijuana. I haven't seen anything that would make me want to support it.
As far as medical, were you on board with that?
I did vote for the medical. I was visited by families, local families, who had children, the people that visited me, that were prone to seizures, grand mal seizures. And, you know, they did convince me that the smokeless, the THC product, would be a benefit to their child with regard to seizures.
Okay. And I guess they've added a few conditions recently, or will be, but this isn't a, you know, handed out like candy kind of a situation.
Right. There are dispensaries that have to be licensed. There are growers that obviously are licensed. And, you know, it's similar to a pharmacist, to my understanding, that, you know, the paperwork has to back up the actual dispensing of the product.
Before I wanted to talk about your senior expo coming up, but before we get to that, just a final opportunity for you to say, you know, what in the next session, what would you see as you know, your priority?
Well, I think that our emphasis has to be a marriage of sorts between education and health and human services. Today, teachers are much more than teachers. They're social workers. And, you know, is that a lack of parenting skills? Who's to say? But nevertheless, is it due to all the technology that's available, you know, to kids, that maybe there isn't that interaction with the neighborhood baseball game? I don't know. But I do know this, that we're pushing our teachers to the limit, and we need to provide them all the necessary tools, A, for a safe environment, B, to address, you know, that child or two out of a class of 30 that, you know, has some special concerns that need to be addressed with. And, you know, my emphasis will be certainly on education, K through 12 and higher.
Okay. And upcoming Senior Expo, you want to put in a plug for that, and, you know, how folks can get involved and who can get involved?
Well, it's coming in mid-August, and what we have with regard to that is representation from local, county, state, and federal agencies that for our seniors to stop by and see if, based on all the eligibility requirements for these different programs, whether they in fact are eligible. And in addition to that, a lot of private service providers that they can, you know, ask questions. Maybe they have a loved one who has a need for, you know, 24-hour care. There'll certainly be a lot of agencies and providers there for that, and legal services when a parent ages, that, you know, if you're going to get power of attorney, that a lot of things that you need to know and help guide you through taking care of your loved one.
Okay, and that's something people can just show up or need to register?
Don't have to register. Just show up. Come early. It's at the SB Fire Hall, August 14th. And it begins at 9 a.m. and it continues on till noon.
Hey, State Representative David Millard of the 109th Legislative District has been our guest on today's WPGM Community Forum. We thank him for joining us, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.